Hello, faithful listener, and welcome to the Small Voice podcast for October. I'm Holly.
And I'm Darren. In this month's podcast, we are going to be reviewing the true crime podcast, Wisecrack, a true crime podcast that's been topping the podcast comedy charts, believe it or not.
And we're also going to play you some music. It's been a while, I know, but we've got a track for you, which we really love, from a sort of new album by the ever-talented Steve Butler. But before all that, how have you been, Darren?
I'm doing pretty well, Holly. Of course, we're doing this kind of fake thing of asking each other how we are when we saw each other at the weekend, because the kind of Small Voice team got together in Glasgow to go to an exhibition, a kind of interactive exhibition on Tutankhamun, which made me feel very old. It was my first ever experience of virtual reality headsets, and I probably won't bother again. But it did mean that we got to see each other, and that was lovely. And I'm going to mention some other nice things from being in Glasgow, because the Glasgow contingent of the Small Voice team will say that I would never do that. So
we're
things
not
that
bad
we're
doing, on the West. We're not bad in the West.
So I really enjoyed going to Cafe Gandolfi, which is a cafe in Glasgow. And I now know, thanks to Mike and our team, I now know what Gandolfi was or is. But I'll leave people to ponder that. Anyway, Cafe Gandolfi does a really, really good Eggs Benny. And I love Eggs Benedict so much that I seldom order it, because there is nothing worse. And my wife despairs if I order it actually in a new place, thinking, oh no, it's not going to be up to scratch. So that was nice. And I'll also mention, we went to a concert of music by the Estonian composer Arvo Part on Sunday evening in City Halls in Glasgow, which was, I know we don't call this section heaven and hell anymore, but trust me, it was heavenly. It was nice. It was nice to be away. So what about you, Holly?
Well, I'm going to start by saying that once I ordered an Eggs Benedict and they put sriracha in the hollandaise and I nearly cried. So I do wonder whether that is something that we share in common, that spoiling a good Eggs Benedict is broadly unforgivable. It's been a tricky, I've alluded to it a wee bit on the podcast, it's been a tricky few months for me because of some work circumstances that I'll not get into. But I think everyone's had this experience where it had been going on for so long that I started to think that maybe there was something wrong with me, like my mental health wasn't great, or like I just wasn't happy. It was starting to kind of interfere with other aspects of my life. And I'm pleased to report that it's not that deep. And actually the work circumstance kind of started to lift at the beginning of September. And every week since, I have felt better and more like myself. So I guess I'm good. From a health check point of view, I'm doing well and improving. But I think also it was just a nice reminder to me that sometimes actually it is just the circumstantial thing that you think is going on that is the problem, and it's not something more than that. Because I think we all have that tendency to get a wee bit like, I'm in the depths of despair from whence I will never return, which isn't a hugely helpful place to be in. So I'm good. And most importantly, obviously, the Traitors is back. So
celebrity traitors.
And as we've spoken about on the podcast before, we are big fans of the format, and I'm really interested to see how the celeb version matches up. We are speaking to you from a time when it's just started, and I think are quite excited about it. So I'm looking forward to more of that. So obviously that's the most important thing, an autumn of excellent television.
Yeah, that and Strictly Come Dancing. Thanks, Holly. So that's how we are, faithful listener. And if you want to let us know how you are, please just get in touch. It makes us so happy to hear from you. Comments and ideas are always welcome. And we know there are a lot of voices, small and otherwise, to share. So bring it on.
Yes, and speaking of those voices that we need to share, I want to say thanks to listener Katrina for a great quote that she left us on our Facebook page. She'd picked up on our discussion in last month's podcast about the necessity and the difficulty of hope and optimism in the light of how the world is just now. Katrina mentioned mustard seeds, yeast, candles at midnight, and other tiny things that are vulnerable, defiant, and resilient. And she remembered a quote which goes something like, "Hope is a candle at midnight, which says to the darkness, I beg to differ." And we loved that.
We absolutely did. And remember, you can find us on Facebook or on our website at smallvoice.org.uk. We're still on Substack, despite recent lack of posts. And you can subscribe to our Substack at smallvoice.substack.com.
And so here's that music we promised you. Back in the day, we always loved having people play live music in the Small Voice studios. And it was great to get some specially recorded music and some featured tracks over the years too. It's not something we've done for a while for lots of reasons, but listeners still do ask about it from time to time. So it may or may not become a semi-regular thing, but we thought that we might get back to featuring some music on here from time to time, just when it feels relevant or apt. And we just heard something great that we'd love to share.
Yeah, long-term listeners may recall that we've had the singer-songwriter Steve Butler on our podcast a couple of times. We're big fans of Steve's solo work as well as his earlier work with the band Lies Damn Lies. Now, Steve released his second solo album back in 2004, and we were very excited to see that he's just brought out a remastered version of the album. We were so excited, in fact, that we got in touch with Steve to ask if we could play a track, to which he kindly said yes. So here from Steve's remastered album called Clear is a song called Barriers.
Today I saw you from a distance, from way up high. I picked you out from the crowd in the corner. But you don't look my way anymore. Smile at your friends and then go running out that door. I'm left wondering, which one of us are you running from? There was a sadness in your eyes, I've seen it before. Like the stare of a lover on a troubled shore. I guess we need some resolution of this unintentional collusion. It doesn't sit you, my friend. Desert of silence is not an end. And I believe nothing comes to those who wear their sorrows well. It's how you lose yourself. And in the pale shadow of your smile, I see traces of the you. Everything that I have wanted, everything that I have mean. But you were my companion when it mattered. I can't say how much that means. I'm not denying what's been broken, but the voice of reason is soft spoken. Come to those who wear barriers down. It's time to take those barriers down. It's time to take those barriers down.
That was Barriers by Steve Butler from his remastered album Clear. You can get the album on streaming services, but why not track it down on Bandcamp and do your bit to support local artists by buying it? We'll include a link on our website.
I don't know about you, faithful listener, but I do like a good ritual. On Saturday mornings, for example, I usually go and meet my brother for a coffee, buy a copy of the Guardian newspaper, costs about £9.20 these days, and I'll then read the newspaper when I get home. I start with the food section, you probably guessed that, before moving on to the listing supplement, which is recommendations for the best TV, radio and podcasts for the coming week. In case you're wondering, Small Voice has yet to make the list, but we can dream. I don't often follow up The Guardian's podcast recommendations, to be honest, but I spotted an article about a true crime podcast series based on a stand-up comedy routine by a British comic, and it's now topping the podcast charts. Well, it's fair to say that my interest was piqued. I listened to the first episode and was well and truly grabbed, and I immediately pitched it to Holly, being blunt, for inclusion as a review in our own humble podcast. Now, it's not an easy podcast to describe, so let's listen to a bit of the trailer to set the scene. This is the trailer for Wisecrack.
Please welcome to the stage, Ed Hedges.
My name is Ed. Everyone say hello, Ed.
Hello, Ed.
From a very rural background myself, my dad is a farmer and my mum is a cousin, so like it's not like not loads going on.
Ed Hedges, a slender, floppy-haired up-and-comer, stands on the stage. He was captivating and quirky and had the audience eating out of his hand. And then the whole night took a turn.
On the 22nd of July, 2015, I woke up to that noise coming from my front door. It was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And at the end of my bed, staring out of my window, there is someone standing. She is terrified. And she says, "Whatever you do, do not turn on the lights."
So there you go. I would hope that you're kind of grabbed and intrigued. That's the trailer for Wisecrack. Now, we do want to give a bit of a spoiler warning here. Holly and I will do our best not to give too much away. But if you're thinking, wow, this is the podcast for me, then you should probably go away and listen to it. And then come back. Put us on pause. We'll still be here for you, we promise. Holly, it's, I think, over 10 years now since the Serial podcast kind of seemed to herald this new genre of kind of true crime podcasts that suddenly exploded and was everywhere. And I remember Serial was really, really big business and everyone was listening to it. We reviewed it on Small Voice. But I don't think either of us necessarily are big true crime podcast fans. So what did you think coming to this?
So when I was listening to it, I had it on in the morning and when I was getting ready, and the adverts came on the podcast. And one thing to warn you about is that on the free version of the podcast, the adverts are plentiful and terrible. And they advertise kind of traditional true crime podcasts by and large. And my wife came out and was like, "Oh, what are you listening to?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm listening to what we're going to review for the next Small Voice." And she said, "I do not want to listen to that." And I was like, would you believe me if I told you that it was about an Edinburgh comedy show so far? Like, it's not really about, it's not, the tone is really different to this. It's a really different thing. And when we went back to the beginning, she was instantly hooked. And I think, similar to me, it was about the way the narrative is structured in the first couple of episodes, where it plays, so it centres around this guy, Ed Hedges, who's a comedian. It centres around his debut show in Edinburgh in 2015, which was called Wonderland, 2016, Wonderland. And he tells this story of an event that happened to him. And as part of his, he's a narrative comedian. And the first couple of episodes of the podcast drift in and out between examining what happened and the story and the kind of true crime aspect of it, because it was a pretty grisly thing that happened, and the comedy of Ed's set. And I'm really interested in storytelling and memory. And I think actually in some ways, you mentioned Serial. The thing that hooked me in Serial, and the thing I remember to this day, is the question, what do you remember from a random Tuesday whenever you were 15? And that's what I remember hearing and thinking, gosh, actually, if you're innocent, you probably don't remember what happened on a random day. And I think a lot of the same themes, the kind of what is truth, whose story is it to tell, that kind of stuff, that was the thing that hooked me. So what about you, Darren? Are you listening to loads of true crime?
No, I listen to, I guess, not quite financial scams, but things like, you know, the whole kind of Bitcoin, various people, Sam Bankman-Fried ending up in prison and stuff. I've listened to those, although it is really interesting. I think in a lot of these podcasts, and actually I'd throw Serial into that as well, true crime podcasts tend to start really, really well and really, really strongly, but then they kind of die away. And I think the first two episodes here are really quite something. This involves someone being brutally murdered. And Ed Hedges is on the periphery of that, but is in some way connected to the people, to a family where there's this murder. And so I was gripped by the stand-up routine, let me be honest. And I think some of the most powerful bits in it are taken from his stand-up routine. So episodes one, episodes two really get you to the end of his stand-up routine. And then you start, basically the true crime podcaster, true crime podcast producer, Jodie Tovey, who's seen this performance, wants to speak to Ed about it. She thinks, you know, I have to, well, I don't know, she thought straight away this is a true crime podcast, but she wanted to speak to him. And Ed Hedges is very reluctant to speak to her. And then over time, you begin to get the questions of, well, did what you remember happening, did that actually happen? And, you know, how can we trust each other? So that to and fro is quite interesting as well. But then I think towards the end, I guess, look, we like stories, and stories should have a beginning, middle and an end. So I think that they try to manufacture an end. Mm. I'm not quite sure there's the closure, if closure is the right word. It doesn't feel to me like it fully finishes properly.
So I was with you, and to go back to my wife, listened along with me, and she disagreed. So I said, I thought it kind of petered out a bit towards the end. And she said, I actually really liked the last episode. So I think your mileage may differ. Yeah. But I think I was similarly, I think there was a little bit of kind of trying to manufacture some drama that's probably not really there. It's an interesting enough story without having to add bits, I would say. What did you make of Ed as a narrator, as a comedian, as a storyteller?
He's, I guess, there's a rich English tradition of the kind of somewhat understated, slightly bumbling stand-up comic who you instantly kind of warm to. He's self-effacing. I really liked Ed in his stand-up. he is recorded a few times in an interview with Jodie Tovey, and obviously he comes across differently there. Mm. Outside of the podcast, there's then the question of basically, not outside of the podcast, outside of the standard routine, there is that question of how much do I actually believe this person, and how do I feel about someone who's basically, has he made art out of horrific murder, or has he just made money out of a horrific murder? Is he working through some kind of trauma of his own?
So I guess I would start by saying, from my point of view, I'm fascinated. I would be terrible at it, but I'm fascinated by the craft of stand-up comedy. So how things are structured, you know, the way he's kind of, he tells a story and then he refers back to part of it. And in that kind of, you know, there's a rich English tradition, but in that kind of Billy Connolly and the Scottish tradition as well, he meanders and you always think he's off on a wee wander, but he comes back to where he was. And I thought that the routine was very well structured and has a very clear narrative. But in some ways, I think you're right. There's this kind of, you know, is Ed an unreliable narrator? Are we all unreliable narrators? But I think there is something more here. I think there's something about the stories we tell ourselves after trauma, and the way to stay ahead of a traumatic event is to create this very neat and tidy narrative around it. And a stand-up show is a very neat and tidy narrative. You said about stories, you like them to have a beginning, a middle and an end. A stand-up show has a beginning, a middle and an end. And I think it maybe in telling it like that, he manages to make it manageable for himself. I think his anxiety in interviews is it kind of makes sense to me more the more I've just let myself think about it. Like when I was like, oh, hang on, what age is Ed Hedges? How old was Ed Hedges when this thing happened? And I think by my reckoning, he was 21 when the events of the story that he is telling took place. So if you kind of go, you're a scared 21-year-old lad who spent a few years trying to make sense of this by telling a story about it and around it, I think it kind of makes sense that he's a bit bumbling and doesn't quite hang together. What the ethics of it are complicated, I think. Nobody in the... They speak to other members of the family that the actual tragedy happened to. And they didn't seem to hold anything particularly against Ed for using this as art. But no, I don't know what you thought about that.
Well, I think it's probably time now to say, you know, we should maybe play some kind of alarm bells and now say, look, we're heading definitely into spoiler territory here. I mean, Jodie Tovey interviews the father of the murderer. And now is the time, and this is what would absolutely ruin it, you know, because finding this out in the podcast is part of the journey. But the murderer has murdered his mother, his own mother. So basically, I'm just going to come out and say this: executive decision, Brett Rogers, in this small village in England, murdered his mother and a friend of his mother. And Brett Rogers was also the childhood bully of Ed Hedges and lived a few doors down. And all that banging that you hear at the start, that is Brett Rogers trying to get into their house, having committed a murder. Not that they knew it at the time. So sorry, I've just kind of completely spoiled the big reveal. But I think it's important to put that into context, because they interview the father of Brett Rogers, who was, you know, separated from his wife. And actually, I don't think his son was even allowed to stay with him at the time because he'd been violent to his own father. And the father is quite...
He's quite something.
Yeah, he is. He's very calm about it, and he's very... I can't say understanding, because I don't think you could understand how someone could do what Brett Rogers did. But he recognises that something went wrong somewhere, and is quite... I don't think he says, I forgive him, but he is quite forgiving in his manner.
Yeah, and he's... I think in some ways... The whole story is a story about masculinity. I think there's Ed, there's Brett, there's Ed's father and Brett's father. It's kind of a story of four men in some ways. And of them, Brett's father is absolutely fascinating to me, partly because I think he came up for me with the line of the podcast, like my favourite line in the whole podcast, where he's asked how he manages to cope. And he said, well, I found a... And I thought, of all of the things he could have said after I found a, I would not have guessed Jungian psychoanalyst. Because he just kind of doesn't seem like that kind of bloke. And he talks about having psychoanalytic therapy for a really long time and how much that helped him. And so there's something about cycles of violence and masculinity, and there's a lot in there. And I think there's a lot of people who are stumbling around trying to make sense of something awful, and Ed Hedges is not at the centre of that. He's at the periphery, stumbling around trying to make sense of something awful. And I think trying to work out how do you tell the truth and what is truth, and what he's trying to do is complicated, but it's nowhere near as complicated as of this guy. I think it's Pete Rogers who is really at the heart of this. I think there does beg a question here, I guess, about who owns these stories.
Well, yeah, because when Jodie Tovey interviews Brett Rogers' father, Pete, he then speaks to Ed Hedges, and it turns out that he doesn't actually know about the stand-up, or he doesn't really fully know what the content of the stand-up is. And if I'm honest, Ed Hedges gives a very careful version of what the content is, which I don't think is entirely accurate.
I guess there's another bit where you realise that Ed Hedges' parents don't fully know what he's been doing with his stand-up either. So there's quite a lot of instances in the podcast where Jodie Tovey walks into a situation where she thinks that the people who she's going to talk to kind of know the background, like that there's a stand-up routine and this is what he says, but actually they don't, and it leads to some really torturous to listen to interviews.
I mean, you mentioned though, I mean, who owns this, and that is a really good question, and I'm going to mention here the series that's on just now on ITV called The Hack, which tells the story of the phone hacking scandal, the actions of news international journalists or private investigators hired by news internationalists, I should say, just to keep our lawyers happy. And watching that and seeing the behaviour of some journalists, you think, what are you like morally that you will do this? But, you know, I consume news, so I guess I accept that it's a job that people have to do this reporting. But it seems it's different to... I mean, listen, I guess that's why it was such an amazing stand-up routine. I mean, who does this? Who makes comedy? Now, he's not laughing at what happened for a second at all. But he is taking this story and making a comedy routine. it's adjacent to a comedy routine.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of the relationship. There's another, I guess, another layer in this, which is the relationship between Jodie Tovey and Ed Hedges. So Jodie Tovey is the podcast host, and she has some interactions with some people, notably the comedian Sophie Hagen, who worked with Ed on the show, she kind of fell away from working on it, partly because she had some doubts about whether some of the stuff that Ed was saying was true. And that leads to, I guess, Ed and Jodie have a bit of a kind of falling out about the fact that she's asking questions about him as a narrator. And it's interesting because what you can't tell is how careful she's having to be with him to keep him on side enough to be on the podcast. There's a lot that kind of has to go unsaid, I guess, because you kind of know, you can hear in the podcast that things are a bit strained and that she's asking him really difficult questions, but he's still narrating parts of the podcast. So you know that he's still around and that he's still on side. So it's a funny one. I think it made me think about stories. You know, there's stories, things that have happened to me that involve other people with whom I am no longer in relationship. So say there's been a big falling out for whatever reason. And those are stories that I don't tell by and large, because actually I kind of realise that there's someone else walking around out there who's got a totally different narrative of what happened, in which I'm the bad guy. And actually I think sometimes we have to take some ownership for saying, this is an event that happened to me that other people remember differently, and in order to be as truthful about that as possible, I need to recognise that we all hold some shared responsibility for narrative. And maybe that's easy for me to say because I don't make my money telling stories. But I do think there's a cost to telling stories like this.
Yeah, I mean, Jodie Thewy is really, really keen. I mean, basically she thinks, look, this is a... Well, I'm reading this into what she's saying. I think she thought, I could make a series out of this, but I need to know that it's true. You know, and I'm a true crime podcast person, true crime. So I need to check that the Ed stories check out. And there's two problems with that. One is that there are certain bits of his story which it's just absolutely not possible to check out. There's a certain amount that you have to take on trust. And the other problem is that he does actually say, well, look, there are things in the set that aren't true, because that's what comedians do. You know, I get a laugh out of saying this about my dad, you know, the joke you heard in the trailer, you know, my dad's a farmer and my mother's a cousin, you know, okay, that's so obviously not true, but there are still, I think, things that he's decided. So for example, he's bullied really, really badly by this murderer, eventual murderer, Brett Rogers. And part of that bullying apparently is that he would pelt him with donuts. And then Ed goes on to say that he became really so good at catching the donuts that he ended up playing cricket. So you think, okay, that's probably not true. But then what was the bullying? You know, how can you tell? And the problem for Jodie Thewy is that she can't know. But I don't think she's got any ethical issues with making a podcast out of this, because look, she's a true crime podcaster, so if there's been a terrible murder and she can verify the facts, she'll be there and she'll be making a podcast out of it, and so will, I mean, probably thousands of others. This is such a huge business.
I think, I don't know, maybe there is something. One of the things that that George said, and I'm not going to take, so George is my wife, and just I'm not going to take credit for her sensible things that she says, that she found the first two episodes of the podcast quite sensationalist, and those are the ones that hooked me in. And as it settled down, she found that she appreciated the fact that it didn't become voyeuristic, it didn't dwell too much on the nature of the crime, it showed respect for the victims, and that it seemed to try to foreground conversations about vulnerability and recovery and healing as much as it's possible to do so. And she found that an easier listen and probably a more honest listen. And I was going, oh, but yeah, it was got a bit boring though, didn't it? And actually maybe the work of healing is dull, and actually it's more that I wanted to get stuck in the sensationalist stuff that happened towards the beginning. Do you think that there's a, As from a faith perspective, do you think that there's something to learn here about story and storytelling?
I think recognizing that we're none of us immune, as you said, from our own version of events, and you know, holding I guess we have to, you know, as they say memorably in the stories, and as our dear departed colleague Anne would say, in the end, all we have are stories. But learning to hold a little bit more lightly to it. I mean, I do like in that fact. I mean, you know, I'm not fundamentalist as a Christian at all. I think it's fantastic that we've got four Gospels that you know, are a mass of contradictions and sometimes entirely different versions of it. But there's two accounts of how Judas Iscariot dies, and they're completely different. And yet there they are in Holy Scripture, apparently inerrant. Well, good luck squaring that circle. So yeah, I think it's an illustration of remembering that not only do you not know everything, but even the stuff that you think you do know, others may have seen it differently.
Yeah, it feels like an obvious thing to say, but I'm going to say anyway. I think there's the difference between what is true and what is factually accurate. And I think in this telling of the story, I think that a lot of what Ed Hedges says is true. And it, in that there is something there that is quite, it's bigger than the factual events of what happened. I agree. I like that there's four Gospels. I like that the Bible contradicts itself. I like that, I think sometimes the meaning is found in the gaps of in these stories.
In a second, I'll be quoting Leonard Cohen, yeah? There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Indigest.
There you go. I've descended into cliche. Well, faithful listener, Wisecrack is a production of Tenderfoot TV and iHeart Podcasts in association with Starwhite Productions. Ed Hedges does the stand-up comedy, and the podcast is hosted, as we mentioned, by Jody Tovey and written by Charles Forbes. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, but do feel free to fast forward through those adverts.
Absolutely. And that's all from this month's Small Voice podcast. Thanks so much for listening. And if you liked what you heard, do tell a friend, leave us a review, or drop by our Facebook page or Substack to say hello. We might even say hello back. You can find all our past episodes and show notes at smallvoice.org.uk. So until next time, take care, keep your candle of hope burning, and we'll see you next month.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.